The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
We are continuing a quick trip through the book of Isaiah here on Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us today. And our waypoint today is Isaiah 7:14. Please stay tuned. Grace in Focus is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are a focused free grace ministry, and you can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. Please visit our store. There we have many books for sale, one of which is The Gospel is Still Under Siege. This is the latest book by our president, Bob Wilkin. Once again, that's faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion from Isaiah 7:14, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We're continuing a series on the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and I'll tell you, Isaiah is interesting for a number of reasons, and we're going to try to hit some of the
highlights
and some of the most common verses that people know about, and we got one of those today. But it's also interesting because when you get into the Gospels, you find Isaiah a lot.
Yeah.
Isaiah is quoted a lot. For example, we're coming out also with a commentary on Mark, and as Mark begins his gospel, he quotes from Isaiah, you know, often. So Isaiah obviously is a very important book, and we're going to look at a verse that we really hear a lot, particularly at Christmas time.
I was about to say, this one's definitely a quoted. I think we said chapter one's one of the most quoted ones, but this one's got to be in the top two or three as well.
Yeah, I have to think that maybe this is the most famous verse in Isaiah. I don't know.
I mean 53, obviously, and then 118. But then, yeah, it's got to be up there.
In the top three.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get real Christmassy on you. Here it is. It's in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And here it is. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I don't know, maybe some readers will be aware of this, or maybe many, or maybe all of you will be, but this is a little bit of a controversial verse because we know from the Gospels that this is referring to Christ.
Matthew 1, yeah.
Right, Luke. In Matthew. Mm-hmm. And so the New Testament writers, under the inspiration of the Scripture, say that Isaiah is prophesying the coming Christ, that a virgin will conceive and you'll call his name Emmanuel, which Emmanuel, of course, means God with us. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus was God in the flesh. He was born of a virgin and he dwelt among the Jewish people and
That's
he
right.
was with us. But I think it's safe to say, and you can correct me in your reading, Catherine, if you got something else, I think the majority of commentators and teachers will say that it's not just Christ. That, in fact, I've even heard that the people who heard it in Isaiah's day, including Isaiah, would not have thought of it that way.
Right.
That a literal virgin would give birth.
Mm-hmm.
That what will we call this? A double fulfillment,
That's
I
right.
think, is the normal way this is understood. And what that means is, there was a young woman in that day when Isaiah is talking who was unmarried, who was a virgin, who would get married and have a child the normal way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was understood. She was a virgin at the time that Isaiah spoke.
Yeah.
But she would get married and have a child.
Or maybe just have a child illegitimately sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one fulfillment. But then it had a double fulfillment in the birth of Christ with Mary.
And that would be a literal virgin in that case.
Right.
Yeah. That's another issue, is how do you define virgin there? Some will define it as just a young maiden or a damsel or something along those
lines.
And
we were talking before, it could even be a woman who's been married, whose husband died.
Mm-hmm.
And we know in the ancient world, for example, that usually younger women would marry older men, or it was very common, and then these older men would die. You know?
Yeah, but, there's different words in the Hebrew that can be translated as virgin, and that's one of them. But the word that is translated here as virgin is a young, unmarried girl.
Okay.
So that, which is why when that is argued, that doesn't fit the word.
But people will use that argument.
But they'll use that argument sometimes. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the background here. What is this prophecy? Ahaz is in some trouble, right?
Yeah. The king of Judah. So we are in the, you know, the nation of Israel has split and you've got the northern kingdom and then of Israel or Ephraim. And then you have the southern kingdom of Judah, which is where the Davidic line is. And that's important because we are dealing with Davidic prophecy here.
Ahaz is in the Davidic line.
That's right.
The line of David.
That's right. It's where Jerusalem is. And he's got some trouble. There's some news has come to him that the northern tribe of Ephraim, of Israel, and then also Syria are wanting to attack him. And so he's afraid. He's shaking in his boots. And so the Lord sends Isaiah to him. And Isaiah also brings his young child with him, his son with him at the
time.
He's
very little at this
time. He's very little, and he's very important. So, and it's easy to miss that when you're reading it because that's earlier in the chapter. It's kind of an afterthought even. And so, but it's important.
It's in verse 3.
That's right. And so he comes and basically Isaiah says, don't worry about them. The Lord's going to take care of you. The Lord's not going to let the line of David be snuffed out. Don't worry.
But Ahaz doesn't believe him.
Yeah, Ahaz has a problem. And we know that Ahaz will eventually side with Assyria, which was a very, very naughty decision. But
he doesn't want to rely upon the Lord against his enemies. He wants to go into an alliance, which he's been told not to do.
That's exactly
from the
right.
Lord.
Right. And the Lord, in his grace, offers a sign to Ahaz. He
says, if you don't believe me,
right, I'll perform a miracle. And that's also important because it is, in fact, a miraculous thing. The Lord's saying, anything you ask of me to prove that I'll do what I'm saying that I'll do it for you.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
It's a miracle that the Lord is offering Ahaz in this moment. And Ahaz, it's kind of funny, he says, oh, no, I don't need a sign.
Because he's planning on getting with the Assyrians all along, right?
Yeah. Right. He comes across as being kind of holy and righteous, like, oh, I would never dare ask the Lord to do something like that. When in reality, he's snubbing what the Lord's offering him. But then Isaiah says, well, no, you're going to get a sign anyways. And the reason that's important is because, again, if we go back, the sign is ultimately this virgin birth. Well, if it is just a regular schmegula birth, if you will.
Yeah, just some young girl who later gets married.
Well, then why is that a miracle? How is that a sign at all?
That happens every day.
Yeah, so that contradicts the context that, no, that this is a specific sign. It's a miracle that he's promising. And again, it's very much tied into this idea of the Davidic line. I'm not going to let the Davidic line get.
So this is something that you don't hear very often. And I'm kind of curious in your study and for the Old Testament commentary that's coming out. Do the people discuss that aspect of Christ's birth, that Christ's birth is the ultimate fulfillment of the Davidic line? Because that's what's happening here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Davidic line is, I'm going to fulfill my promises to Jerusalem, and I'm going to perform a really, really great, because there's an eternal king coming from the Davidic line that's going to be born of a virgin.
Sure.
And we're going to call him God is with us.
Right. Yeah.
So as Ahaz is worried about the Davidic line, his line, here's a promise, even though it's 700 years in the future, more or less, yeah, this is what God's going to do.
Yeah, I think also tying into, and we haven't talked about this as much, but one of the major themes that was mentioned in chapter one and goes through all of Isaiah is remnant theology, that the Lord is not done with the nation of Israel, that he is going to fulfill his promises to them. Not only did he fulfill the promise here of preserving a remnant and bringing forth the Messiah through the Davidic line, but he will ultimately deliver a remnant out of the tribulation and into the millennial kingdom as well.
So this is a prophecy. And what Catherine and I are saying is, this is not talking about a girl that was a virgin back when Isaiah was talking. This is only talking about Christ.
Right.
It's not a double fulfillment.
Verse 14.
It's only talking about Christ.
That's right.
Okay. Now, it's interesting, though, what the next verse says.
That's right. Because we got to remember that little boy.
That's right. Here's this boy that's standing there. He's or barely walking, however old he is, very, very little. And then Isaiah says, curds and honey. Now, this is interesting. The New King James Version says, he shall eat. He is capitalized.
Also, I believe the word child in the next verse is also capitalized, which it shouldn't be.
And in verse 15, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For behold, the child, all those are capitalized.
Right.
So they're saying that all of these two verses are talking
all
about
three,
Christ
14,
as well.
14, 15, and 16 are
but
all
But they also say there's a double fulfillment.
That's right.
But so ultimately it points to Christ.
Right. The traditional way of seeing this is the double fulfillment is all of these verses are referring to Christ, verses 14, 15, and 16, but they also all refer to this child that will be born of somebody contemporary of Isaiah's day. But what we're arguing is, no, 14 is just Christ, and then verses 15 and 16 are just the child, Isaiah's son.
And he's already born.
Right.
And so what Isaiah says is, before this son, this boy, grows up, and he's able to discern between good and evil, God's going to deliver you from your enemies. The land that you dread will be forsaken by her kings.
Right.
So
yes.
God is going to deliver you, these kings that are threatening you.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and Assyria is coming as well.
Right. And I just wanted to mention real quickly that this idea of a double reference, not a double fulfillment, but a double reference, we see elsewhere, for example, in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, we see in 9, one prophecy referring to the Lord's coming.
The first coming.
His first coming, riding on a donkey. But then in verse 10, it's a reference to his second coming when he comes to
which
reign.
Is at least 2,000 years later.
Right. So we see that idea of two totally separate events, but they are, what would we say, smashed together within just a few verses.
Yeah. And so in this one, we have Christ in verse 14 and then Isaiah's little son, little boy, in verses 15 and 16.
Right.
And the fulfillment in the very near future with the threat to Judah and Assyria coming in. Wow. Again, most of you, when you hear this 7:14, you'll hear this thing. It's a double fulfillment. But look at it a little bit closer. We think there's only a single fulfillment of verse 14, and that's talking just about Christ and Mary. Well, we hope this is helpful for those who might study Isaiah. And until next time, keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, a familiar Christmas passage, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. Please join us again. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.